This is a Beyond Casterbrews podcast. Available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrews.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast with a K, in which we talk about Doctor Who and things. I am Christian Corley, and with me this week is James McLean, who joins us from the inside of a 19th century water closet, which is probably situated somewhere in the back area of his sprawling Norfolk mansion. How are you?
Absolutely, yeah, I'm at the grounds, I'm at the back. The soiree that's going on in the main hall doesn't particularly pertain to Skype. It's a bit of a pedestrian plebeian thing.
You know, as I was describing that, I was instantly reminded of the Fry and Laurie sketch where Hugh dies and Stephen Fry gives the tribute describing how Hugh was born in the ground in a working class house in the grounds of his parents' Gloucestershire mansion.
Yeah, well, it's a similar sort of thing. So I'm out the back in the water closet where there's the privacy, where I can retain my social status as being a sneering upper class snob, and not embarrass myself speaking to pedestrian more than oiks like yourself in front of the guests. So this seemed to be a happy medium.
I don't know why, but I'm reminded of so many things today, and that was a direct reminder of 2005's The Unquiet Dead, the Doctor telling Rose that he loves a happy medium.
But, there you go.
So we're talking Doctor Who, which it feels like we haven't done it for ages. We probably haven't, actually, because a lot's been going on in life in general. I won't mention anything geopolitical because, you know, you could be listening to this in 2 years' time. Our old podcasts get listened to all the time. Some of them more than our new ones. How insulting is that? Let's get on with it. And there's a couple of things have happened, really. And I'm completely unsure which way to go with this. I think possibly we'll go with the big Doctor Who news first, which is finally confirmation from Peter Capaldi that he is standing down as the Doctor.
Is it big news, though? I mean,
yes, it is, because, you know, a lot of people were hoping that he would be holding on and staying with Chris Chibnall.
Yeah.
Whether that was likely or not is another matter entirely.
That's fine. You know, if they want to hope for that in the same way they hope for that glorious rainbow at the bottom of their garden to take them away to that special land, that's absolutely fine. But there was no way he was going to be allowed to stay. The whole thing has been about rejuvenating the franchise. There was no way he was going to be allowed to stay for that, because they're rejuvenating the brand, and he's the face of that brand.
Yeah.
It's not against him personally, but that sort of business product change, It wouldn't have worked if they'd kept him on. And I think that's what kind of makes it a little sad, because I think he would have stayed on if this wasn't a brand change.
No, I think you're probably right. But I think a lot of people weren't quite aware of that. I think they just were expecting us just to rumble over like it did last time and the time before, not expecting a big, huge reboot as it is planned to be. And joining us also on the podcast this week, as you'd have mentioned, is Brian Turnover. Brian.
Hey. Sorry I'm late.
No, that's all right. We'll just pretend you weren't late and you're here all the time and I was just ignorant.
That's good. We'll do that.
We're just talking about Peter Capaldi's confirmation that he's standing down as the Doctor.
Right.
Now, a lot of people seem to be surprised by this news. As James has just alluded to. How were you? I mean, you weren't surprised, were you? But, I mean, have you encountered anyone who was surprised?
Yes. Yeah, there's, pretty much all I'm seeing all across Facebook is the majority of people are surprised, which I don't know why at this point that they are. Although I did, the one thing I did see was some people saying that no doubt he's going by the Patrick Troutman advice of do three series and then get out. And that seems to be upsetting people that Patrick Trout never said that. And it's kind of like, hey, you know, they're actors. They do what they do. You know, it's we had him for when we had him. I would have loved for him to go on with Chibnall and see him under a new writer, but he's not. So what can you do?
I think if any of the Doctors, or Tennant aside, any of the Doctors was likely to do more than the three series, it was going to be Peter Capaldi, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So
I would have thought, yeah.
Yeah. We've talked about this a lot, so I don't want to go back too much into that, but any criticism that we have of Doctor Who as it is at the moment, Peter Capaldi is completely beyond criticism. I think we're unanimous on this, aren't we? I mean, he does tend to, even the poorer episodes are watchable because of Peter Capaldi. He makes those bits watchable.
Absolutely.
And it occurred to me earlier that that this man's no fool. This man is a writer and Oscar-winning director, lest we forget. Peter Capaldi knows Whippet shit when he sees it. So his supreme professionalism. We're never going to find out what's happened behind the scenes in this era of Doctor Who for many, many, many years until a John Nathan Turner-esque expose is released in 20 or 30 years' time, I should imagine.
Well, we sort of know what has been happening behind the scenes, but no one's going to believe it until exactly. We release that. Yeah. That's the problem.
Yes.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, it's I still think it's nothing to do with his performance, but he has been so terribly written.
Yes.
That, regardless of what's gone behind the scenes, there's been no consistency to his character. And he should have been, we've said this before, he should have been the easiest Doctor to write. He naturally exhumes, even from his thick of it, a William Hartnell / Colin Baker with a hint of the abrasive Tom Baker about him. It would have been really easy to write him, but they didn't feel like they had the stones to do it. And you ended up with this sub Matt Smith, occasional moments of Capaldi coming out. But overall, he was written as if he was written for Tennant or Matt Smith. And it was a real shame. But yeah, that will be nothing to do with this decision.
No. It is happening. The Doctor will regenerate. Presumably, we'll see it on screen at Christmas. That's going to be the last time we'll see Peter Capaldi as the Doctor. And Doctor Who itself returns on April the 17th, which is what we tend to call Easter Saturday in the UK. What do you call it in America?
Saturday.
Okay. Has Easter been banned yet? Or
not yet. Trump is doing the rounds to tear apart America, but so far Easter is safe. We shall see what happens as we get closer to the date. See if America has sunk by then due to his complete moronic presence. But yeah, no. Yeah. We'll yeah. see.
Okay. Imagine what it'd be like if he had a PR.
Yeah, right.
Don't mince your words, Brian.
Yeah.
It's okay, you can tell us what you're really feeling.
Well, I might not be able to, James, because what I've said right now could be enough for them to flag me and kick me out of the country.
Oh, yeah.
We will, of course, cross that bridge when we come to it. Brian has plenty of places he can go to should that happen.
I think you mean climb the wall. Ooh. But hey, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me.
Well, my job here is done. The podcast can now be over.
It's all getting a bit Pink Floyd now.
Nice.
Yeah. I got a great email. I do know I get so many emails. Some of you may know that I write for a living, and part of that is somehow I've made a bit of a name for myself in certain areas, so I get a lot of emails that I don't want to read, basically. But from time to time, some nice ones creep through. One of them came today. It was a bit of a surprise. It was from Betfair. It's from a lady called Katie Bayliss, who works presumably in Betfair's PR department. And it was all about Doctor Who. Namely, the identity of the next Doctor.
Go on, basically.
So let's have a look at some odds. We'll have some interesting discussions here. James Norton. Now, I'm largely familiar with actors. And I thought that James Norton was someone else. So he is apparently the main favourite at the time of this email being sent. He was at 9-1, James Norton. He's the, James, you may not know this, he's the star of Grantchester alongside Robson Green. Now, the thing about this is I thought that James Norton was James Darcy of Broadchurch Series 2. So I thought, oh, that's quite cool. But it turns out it's not him. It's the slightly... And, this is all my opinion. Brian may not even know who James Norton is. James may agree or disagree. I do find him a bit bland and a bit wet, certainly in terms of his Grantchester persona. So, yeah, he's apparently top of Betfair's list. 10-1 is Ben Daniels, who was he was high up last time when Capaldi was cast. There's a lot of women in this list as well. There's Lara Pulver of Sherlock and various other things. Saran Jones. There is Vicky McClure. I don't know either. Gemma Arterton. A few other. Catherine Tate. Michelle Dockery. Tilda Swinton. Joanne Froggatt. Helena Bonham Carter. Maisie Williams. Even. Charlotte Rampling. Katie Price. Gets a bit silly now. And Katie Hopkins. I've been informed that the BBC are looking for a man under 40. So it's not going to be a lady.
Yeah, because Olivia Colman was another one that Tennant today said that he would be keen, and with her Chibnall connections. But no, as far as I've been informed, this is a real direct push towards, it's what we've said before, Christian, back to the 6:30 slot.
Yeah.
Aimed a lot towards younger markets, to pick up on the merchandise and not to deviate from that sort of, I don't know what the word is. It's sort of like a sort of a very watchful eye to see if it performs well. I think this is, if people have been asking about whether it's going to go on a break, I think depending on the next few years will be whether it goes on a break or not.
Yeah,
I think there's that. That's the feeling I'm getting.
Yeah.
If this reboot doesn't do something different.
And that's the key word.
Which is why.
This is a reboot.
Yeah.
This is a 2005 style reboot, a break from the past with a younger, dynamic, handsome Doctor with pop culture references. A young female companion. If they'd have kept Capaldi on, they could have gone with a male female companion pairing with action companion, girl companion, or maybe two girl companions with one action companion and one not action.
But there's still that visual rebranding, is it? So they would still be Capaldi's face, and they want to
want to move on from that, yeah. So
yes, this is
an Eccleston/Tennant-esque era reboot. Yeah.
Nearest thing too, I think. Yeah. I agree with you. Yeah. That's what I'm doing.
A couple of other interesting names. Andrew Scott, 10-1.
I would love Andrew Scott. He was so badly wasted on Sherlock, and he'd be brilliant. I think he would do a really good
job. I think he'd be good as well. Rory Kinnear, 12-1. I cannot see Rory Kinnear as the Doctor.
No, I can't.
I like Rory Kinnear as well, yeah. Ben Whishaw, another one from the Bond series, 16-1. Richard Ayoade, 16-1. Which I like Richard Ayoade, but I haven't seen him in anything but the IT Crowd, so I don't really know what his acting chops are like beyond comedy.
Do you know, I've seen him obviously in the IT Crowd, but also in Travel Man 48 Hours In.
Yeah, well, I've seen Gadget Man, but I haven't seen Travel Man, but yeah.
Sure, and other things like that, where obviously he's himself. And I just have trouble picturing him being able to be anyone but himself.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't mean that rudely. I mean, he's hilarious. He's a fantastic person to watch on TV, you know, Travel Man, Gadget Man, the IT Crowd. I would just be very surprised to see him do something that requires some serious tone to it, like Doctor Who. But who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. There's a couple of other interesting names in there. And then there's something a little delicate that I want to address with this list. James Purefoy, 20-1. That is a fascinating piece of betting. Because he's not under 40, but he is, like, he's one of those faces that women really like.
Which is what they're clearly going for, the handsome, young.
Now we've,
which is a shame, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, he can act as well. He's got a good line in Bad Guys, actually. But no, Purefoy can act. He's and a couple of other names that have been mentioned are Aidan Turner, which I think we've mentioned on the podcast with AK previously, and one that hasn't been mentioned, which is baffling me that it hasn't been mentioned, which leads me to suspect that maybe there is something in it, and this is completely has come from my own imagination, so it could be nonsense. Is Richard Madden? Who was Prince Charming in the Cinderella live-action movie, and he was Robb Stark in the first two series of Game of Thrones, and he's a Scottish actor who does a British accent well, or an English accent well, more than one English accent well, I should point out. So that the fact that he isn't in this betting stands out to me like a sore. He hasn't been put in there for a reason. But, you know, we'll see how it turns out later. We've got Corden and Cumberbatch at 25-1 each. Now, and doubt for both of those. Cumberbatch, you know, he said previously that he's didn't want Doctor Who. He wasn't keen on the idea of appearing on underpants, that sort of thing. Ben Daniels, 10-1, as we've mentioned, he was in there last time. Ben Whishaw, 16-1. Now, it's 2017, okay? A couple of years ago, it was 2013. I understand that one of the reasons that Ben Daniels was not cast as the 12th Doctor was because he's gay. Now, that sounds absolutely absurd in this day and age, but it does suggest that there is perhaps something about the Doctor Who brand that the BBC don't want to be, and tarnished is not the right word at all, associated with a non-family audience. The fact that, you know, I heard this as a fact, you know, it is baffling. So I do think that there's a chance that Ben Daniels and Ben Whishaw could both be out of the running if that attitude is maintained through to this day. I think it's balmy, but yeah.
You know, I would think, because I'm looking at Ben Daniels now, he's out of their age range. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And which is sad, because at him, I'm really liking the age in his face.
Yeah.
And how he's not, I mean, he's handsome, I'm sure. And that's what they're looking for. But I don't think he's the pretty boy that they're looking for, I guess. But I think he has a good look.
Ben Whishaw's a really good actor. You know, you watch him as Q and then you see him in the other stuff that he's done. And it's a tremendous turn on, you know, completely different characters. Are we all here still?
I don't remember Ben Whishaw. Yeah. Who's
Ben Whishaw plays Q in the Daniel Craig movies.
Oh, okay, yeah, him. Sure.
And he's done a few other things. He's done a few kind of high rating BBC like big BBC drama one offs and what have you in a couple of other movies. But he's a very good actor. I think I quite like him actually as the Doctor.
So far out of all the names mentioned, and I want to say this before I go further, I have a feeling it'll be much like when Matt Smith was announced, that there was a million names in the hat except for his, and then he was cast, you know. So out of all the names that people are throwing around right now that probably don't have a chance, but who knows, Ben does have a good look to him for one of the younger doctors. He's definitely a pretty boy looking kid, but I think he's got a bit of a weirdness to him that somehow would fit the doctor. But I don't know. The thing is, I don't want to get caught up on who they're looking at, who could be the doctor. I just want to find out, you know, because it's never who is being vetted out there or bet on. And I would like to be surprised. I would really like to be surprised that Chris Chibnall could actually choose who he wants rather than have the BBC say, hey, it's got to be a young 30-something handsome guy. You know, like I just, I would like to see someone probably more in line with Ben Daniels' age or Christopher Eccleston's age. You know, this, they're not as old as Capaldi, which I did not have an issue with Capaldi, but we're moving off of Capaldi. So I don't want to mirror that as the next one, but I don't want to see someone come in Matt Smith's age, or even David Tennant's age at this point. I'd like to see someone with some wisdom in their face, essentially, as we artificially equate to wrinkles, you know?
Yeah.
I just think it would fit the character.
Any thoughts, James?
I still think if they'd actually had the balls, or it wasn't the balls. If they'd actually
stones, said before.
Yeah, I did say stones before swords. I'm going to repeat it again, but it's not about balls or stones. Well, it is sort of. If they hadn't been such fans, and sort of stepped back from sort of trying to move Capaldi into this Pertwee version, which they were doing in all their promos, lightheartedly, but obviously to try and gain fan acceptance. You know, look how he's like Pertwee, look how he's dressed, look, we've got Joe Grant and him doing these joke mock shots of Pertwee. If they'd done what they did in that second season, kept him in the hoodie, kept him light and relaxed, slightly bad-tempered, slightly, you know, anti-hero, as he was in Listen, they could have had a character there which I think would have worked for young people. Because he'd have been the opposite of Matt Smith. He'd have been the old man in the youngish outfit, in the youngish sort of style. And I think that could have worked. But they kept pushing him into this awkward sort of old man Pertwee look. And I just don't think that worked with the kids, which is why now I think we're going to get this reaction to go 30 and under, to sort of try and get the kids, try and get the young people, try and get the girls again. And they could have done that, I think, if they had kept Capaldi in a certain brand, and they didn't. They didn't know what to do with him. I always got the impression they were too scared to do what they needed to do with him. And so you just got this mess.
I agree. It goes back to some of the things we had heard before with Capaldi and Moffat, where, if this is true, obviously, as we said, we may never know, where Capaldi was getting a bit upset that Moffat kept making old jokes at the Doctor's expense, you know, and it's like, rather than tell the audience the Doctor's old and let's make fun of him because he's old, you should be telling us the Doctor's cool and this is why he's cool and make people forget that he's old. And I think, I shouldn't say old, but older, you know, but yeah. I mean, he definitely, I agree with you 100% that personality, that trait for the Doctor, so long as they did let bleed through some niceness of the character that does need to be there as well, totally is what they needed. And I think we talked about this before with Series 8, how in Series 8 the Doctor didn't really have a personality. He was what they needed the Doctor to be per story. I think they got him a little bit better in 9, but that was a big issue. And it's like, if they had just strived for some consistency in character rather than try to just tell whatever story demands they wanted to tell, he would have fared a heck of a lot better. And the sad thing is, I'll say this, what we're talking about right now, like you were saying in the beginning, Christian, people were shocked to hear that he's leaving, which we're all sitting here going, how can you be shocked that he's leaving kind of situation. Everything that I am seeing online from the people that I know, at least in this whole Doctor Who community, they're all posting how sad they are that he's leaving. They weren't ready for him to go. They were hoping to get at least one more series out of him. So all of these people are saying, why does he have to go? I don't want him to go. Rather than what the BBC is probably expecting, because they're thinking he's the issue, that people are sitting out here going, great, he's gone. Perfect. Bring us in a young, handsome one, which they're not. I don't get that sense. Not even in the forums I've been visiting.
I think that's the problem. It's not an issue of forums or fans. It's the issue of that wider demograph in the UK, certainly, who have been turning off. And I think they're feeling that it's losing touch.
Right.
And I don't think it is just Capaldi, but I think Capaldi has had an unfortunate factor on it, in part because I think there is ageism. I think in part because, as I say, they could not find a definition for him. He could have, as I say, been, as you say, slightly friendly, but sort of crotchety and a break, like he was in Deep Breath. He could have been that with a younger looking outfit, and they could have played on that and given him this fusion of old and young, but they didn't. And then also the fact that because the ratings have gone, I don't think they give a damn particularly about Capaldi. They just want a new look. And so Capaldi is just is the ultimate reference of the past show, and they want to start from scratch and get people to forget. So they want to move it on forward. So I don't think the fans really equate into it. And I agree with you. The fans I've spoken to are all very sad. A lot of them liked it. A lot of them thought that perhaps he could have had better. And some, yes. Some said that he wasn't what they wanted. But no one has really had a particular issue with Peter Capaldi.
Yeah, that's generally what I find.
A lot of people would like to have seen another year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I don't... This whole reboot aspect that we keep talking about, I mean, we have to be clear, like, just so I'm even clear, like, from what I'm understanding, it's another one of those soft reboots where the show's still a continuation, but they're completely changing the format.
Oh,
Which I don't think is a bad thing, in the respect that I think we need to get away from what Moffat did with the show, because it seems to have burnt more bridges than it did make sense. And that's just being honest right there, is that it had no consistency, and instead it broke down more walls than it ever did help build them, I guess. But I don't necessarily think that means that the Doctor needs to change so heavily. I think that they really should have trusted Capaldi to work with another Doctor who may have a more coherent vision for the show. That said, I can understand why wanting a clean slate almost completely could work. You could almost bottle the entire Moffat era up unto itself in the same way that you can bottle up the Russell T. Davis era unto itself. So as fans, it's like you could essentially skip eras of the show if you wanted to, where the classic series was a little bit more connected, I guess. But if they do that, if they do the soft reboot thing... In a sense, depending on how they do it, I think it could only help, because like we spoke about before in the past, that the 2005 show probably should have been a complete reboot, free them from any ties, any continuity that was bounding them from telling good stories. But it all depends on how it's done. And that's I guess, all we're going
to
have to wait
it
and see.
Is, but I get the impression the BBC is aware of that. And it's basically a sort of do it's either live or die sort of thing. Prove to us that the show has gone off direction and can be brought back in direction, or otherwise show us that this show has just been going on for too long now and needs a break, because 10 years is a long time for any show. So I get the feeling it's that sort of feeling. And to be fair to them, you know, it's made front pages again, you know, of the newspapers and of the radio article TV over in the UK that he is leaving. And it's been 2 days of sort of top leading articles. So, you know, there obviously is considered to be a sort of public interest in Doctor Who still. But for that public interest, as last it was last year, getting 3.5 million viewers, you know, it's you can see why they're staying right. You know, this has been descending for a while now.
Here's something that I noticed, and I want to ask your guys' opinion on, because it is something that I am not entirely familiar with, but... BBC Radio 2. This is not something that's... Is that really how it goes?
Yeah.
That was great. It's beautiful. They should hire you. But no, oh, great, because you did it. That's amazing. No, but my question is it... the only thing that I can think to equate it to over here, which is something I don't even watch, but I know that they do, but it's essentially like Howard Stern's radio show. You know, it's broadcast as a TV show, and then he also does a radio show. Is BBC Radio 2 a TV viewed thing, or strictly radio?
No, they occasionally
it's just radio.
They have a few shows that are red buttoned. Which basically means they are aired on TV at the same time. That's not a common thing, though.
Okay, well, because... Where I was going with this was, I don't... Christopher Eccleston, I remember we heard he was leaving and that he was upset that he was leaving, and then it was officially announced through, like, newspapers or whatever. David Tennant, it was some TV award show that they pulled him aside. He made a TV announcement. I honestly do not remember Matt Smith, but Peter Capaldi makes his announcement that he's leaving the show on a radio program. when they announced him as the Doctor as a special 1 hour long TV episode, specifically just for announcing who the new Doctor is, you know, retrospective looking back through Doctor Who and announcing who he is. They even did the same thing for Matt Smith announcing who he was. And it just seems like you were saying, James, like they obviously have lost faith completely in what's going on with the show right now. So why bother to do anything mega for what's going on with it? And so they make him announce this in this little sideline kind of way, and it still makes the headlines, which is kind of amazing for the show to be able to be said about the show. But I did find it kind of sad that when I heard about it, I was just scrolling through Facebook and I saw somebody post, hey, he's on this radio show and he just announced he's leaving. And I was like, the radio? Like, who listens to the radio? And I don't mean to say it that way, but really, like, that's the way that you choose to announce that he's leaving? It just seemed weird.
Yeah, they've been quite low-key with it, haven't they, really? And it's quite strange that he's going to be on. And I did think it was quite strange that he would be on at this stage, knowing, you know, 90% certain that Doctor Who wasn't going to be on until Easter. So I did have it at the back of my mind when I noticed it. There could be something, you know, there could be something announced here. But to be honest with you, I just thought it would be the date of series 10, not that he's leaving as well.
Yeah.
What's that noise?
It's wind outside the water closet.
Oh, right, okay. Crikey.
It just sounds like a kettle brewing, but it could just be wind.
It's very loud.
It's one of those things when you
sounds like you're in a flight path.
I'm in a what?
An airport flight path, yeah.
Oh, right, yeah, that would be detrimental to the podcast, although might be productive to the future of the website in terms of audience figures.
Possibly.
I think what will be interesting with the Capaldi thing is less about him going, but what sort of hype they do about someone coming. You know, when they decide the next one, will they do as they did with Capaldi and make it a big thing? Or will it be fairly low key? I think that will show a bit of the confidence.
I think they should just leave it to the news. I mean, the BBC News and Current Affairs Department, which I do wonder why they don't just break it off from the rest of the corporation, to be honest with you. They do seem very good at doing showbiz news that's completely irrelevant. You know, last week on the BBC website, it was headline news that the editor of Vogue was standing down. For Christ's sake! Vogue? So, they should just take advantage of the BBC News and just you know, Tom Baker style, Tom Baker's leaving, who are they casting? You know, just use BBC News and leave it at that. Maybe have them on maybe talk about it on the one show, but don't do a dedicated programme, for goodness sake.
I'm interested to see if they do. I wonder whether a change in the sort of focus. I mean, because I get the impression that they've got this year because they've had to have this year to do. It takes a year, you know, for Chibnall to sort of get into his place. So I get the impression this year is sort of like the last season of the Musketeers. It's something they've got to do, so they'll do it. Get it out there, make as much promo as they can, but their real focus will be Christmas onwards. Mm. So that will be the telltale, is whether Christmas and then whether that will see audiences surge and whether there'll be an interest next year for someone new.
Yeah. But the other thing about the timing as well is the fact that he did tells us that the search has begun, that casting is underway. The production has to be starting very soon if it's going to be on air in 2018.
That was one of my first thoughts, was when he said he was leaving, that, you know, they already have to be looking at people.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's why a lot of these names are in there, but I think a lot of these names are in there just because that's what the media defaults to those particular people.
He knew he was leaving. He's known for a long time. I'm absolutely certain this isn't his. I think he's got good reason to leave, as he said in his interviews, that 3 years is a lot, that he's not done 3 years before. Think of it. Maybe. but he wants to, you know. So I can understand from an actor's point of view, but I still get the impression that this is, as we've said a year ago, this is a rebranding thing. He'll have known deep down, or if he'd not been told, that if they're rebranding, if they're trying to revitalize the franchise, they're not going to keep the Doctor. They're going to look for someone new to help push it forward into a new direction, which makes sense. The sad thing is, as we've said, it's not really been him at fault. It's been how he's been handled and how the show has been handled.
Yeah.
And not just in story content, but in the fact that it's being mucked around. And again, this is not just inherently a production issue, this is a scheduling issue, but also how the production has mucked the schedule around. I still think the split season a few years ago, that would have caused massive damage to the show. You start to really make it sporadic. People aren't sure when it's on. They don't know what time it's on, where it's going to be. It's a down, as we've said before, you don't see America do this, and America being sort of pretty much the king of consumer commodity-based television, with its advertising being the key focus of the majority of its channels, well, not so much now, but certainly, you know, a few years ago. You don't do this.
No.
Don't do this on linear television. And if they don't do it, there's a good reason why America doesn't do it, and the reason that we were probably shows why some of this show has had a lot of a rocky time.
Indeed. So so that's the Peter Capaldi situation. I'm not given to seeing into the future usually, but I suspect we'll probably be talking about this again over the coming months.
So have we got an upbeat topic now after that? It's a bit downbeat.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Before we get to that, though, you keep going quiet. Are you kind of moving away from your microphone, or...?
No, my microphone is way attached to my head. It's being in a small outhouse, I imagine.
Now you're loud. Now you're loud.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It is. Stay where you are.
Ooh, I wonder.
Who wrote the Book of Love?
You've got the wrong microphone selected.
I'm wondering if it's not selected the wireless microphone, and it's sitting on the laptop. So the laptop mic is active, but it's the... That would be very annoying, but the sort of thing that technology sort of does these days.
It would, wouldn't it? That's what happened to me last time.
Yes, and I'm beginning to wonder whether I have succumbed to the same trickery. Show Bluetooth devices, you bastard. Well, I'm near it now, so I mean, if you want to keep talking, I will keep fiddling.
Okay, you keep whatever.
Yeah.
So yes, funny you should say that, because John Hurt sadly passed away. The War Doctor actor, who has a vast library, an encyclopedia of credits to his name, died nearly a week ago, as we record this, on January the 25th, at his home in Cromer. He had been ill with cancer for several years, and was kind of retired as well, despite the fact that he kept working, which I can't really understand, but he's done so much. He was in I, Clavdivs back in the 70s. In Alien, key character in the first Alien movie. He was the voice of the dragon in the Merlin TV series. He has done so much, TV and movies. It's staggering, actually. He kept working so consistently throughout his career. It is quite a filmography, really. I'm just going to pull up a list of John Hurt performances, courtesy of Wikipedia, just to jog some memories. There is there's Midnight Express. There's the voice of Hazel in Watership Down. The voice of Aragorn in the Lord of the Rings animation in 1978. There's the Elephant Man. There's John Merrick. There is... he played Bob Champion, the jockey in Champions. He's Winston Smith in 1984. He's in Spaceballs. John Hurt is... every great movie and a few crap ones, but it's in so many. You know, he's fantastic as Marquis of Montrose in Rob Roy. He's, you can go through this list of movies and then you think, have we got to the end yet? And no, we're not at the end yet. He's in V for Vendetta. He's in Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone as Ollivander. He's in Hellboy 2. He's in Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of Crystal Skull as Harold Oxley, for God's sake. The guy is in every great film, some not so great films, but he's always memorable and always gives the top performance in the films that he appears in, which is exactly why he's absolutely brilliant as the War Doctor, because, you know, he's playing against David Tennant and Matt Smith, two people who are recognised on TV as the Doctor. He's in the same episode as Tom Bloody Baker, and let's be honest, he steals the show. John Hurt was a great actor, and will be sadly missed. Have I missed anything?
You know, like you said, his catalog of films is massive. And I'll be honest too, it's amazing. Like when he was cast as the War Doctor, I remember going, but who is he? Like, I don't remember who he is.
I remember that.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, it was on the podcast.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. And then I look back at his history and I'm like, I've seen that film. I've seen that film. I've seen that. Okay. I've seen a million things this man has done. And he's great. Like you said, I mean, he's just always great. He knows exactly. He's so natural, I guess, is the best way to say it. So, yeah, it's a shame. And I find myself sitting here a little bit ashamed that I haven't heard any of his Big Finish plays yet for the War Doctor, to expand my Doctor Who experience with him. So maybe I'll have to pick them up now.
Well, they're not going anywhere. You'll be able to revisit those at any time. So
this is good.
As I understand it, they've been put back a month out of respect.
I see.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Cool, because I'm on the right mic now.
You sounded better before.
Oh, good. That's nice to know.
You now sound like you're calling us from South America during the 1970 World Cup.
Right. Fine. Okay.
Let's see. Oh, no, it's now decided it's... Oh, no, there we go. So you're now back where you wanted to be on the cracking laptop mic. You're happy now.
Yes, it's much better quality as long as you stay close to the mic. Yeah.
Technology really sucks, doesn't it?
It can, yes.
I feel this urge to go and watch Life on Mars again to remind me how, despite the racism, the bigotry and the injustice, that the lack of computers meant things were a lot simpler. A telephone, and that's what you used.
Or a typewriter.
Or a typewriter, yeah, exactly. Or your fist. Which, given how delicate my fists are, that's probably not a good thing to do. I'd have to. But I was going to say, do you think with Big Finish, do you think we're going to see Capaldi?
I don't see why not. I mean, if they've Tennant before. I mean, has Smith done any?
Not yet.
Not yet, no. But I mean, Capaldi seems a little more... He still seems quite Who energized.
Has he done Big Finish? Has he done any characters in Big Finish?
Oh, has he done any characters? I don't think so.
Probably not for want of trying at some point, I imagine. Busy actor. So just on the... going back to John Hurt, though. Obviously, I went through that big library. Is there anything that stands out to you, James, as a aficionado of movies?
I'm cautious to say this in the wake of someone's passing. I'm not a massive John Hurt fan, not out of any dislike of his acting or I mean, from what I hear, he was a really nice guy as well.
Yeah.
So that's always a nice factor there. But just simply, there was nothing that he played that really caught me. I don't know. Some of his early stuff was fairly interesting.
Well, he owns one of the greatest scenes in sci-fi, doesn't he, as well?
Are we talking sort of aliens?
Alien, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine for him that's a sort of role where he looks back and thinks people remember me for the moment rather than my acting, because, you know, I mean, Kane was okay, but he wasn't anything particularly big. He wasn't meant to be anything big. No, that was meant to be a shocker. I mean, I remember him in A Man for All Seasons. I thought he was good in that when it was really earlier, one of his early main roles. I think he was one of the few things which lifted V for Vendetta. Mm-hmm. He certainly, as you say, I think he did a good job as the War Doctor. I think he was well cast for that. But I won't be a person who pretends to... That's a horrible word to say, to feel sad, because I think you should feel sad when anyone dies. I don't feel that... I don't know. I think you could do a podcast on this. There's a difference between that feeling of loss when it's something... someone that feels close to you, even though they're not close to you. Mm-hmm. So like Leonard Nimoy passing for many people, and then someone passing who you can respect and recognize and see them as a human being and see the sadness, but don't feel that you have the right to own that sadness or that loss because you never had that close association with that person or actor, characters. And I'm a bit like that with John Hurt. There was just nothing that really touched me personally. So I kind of am cautious about adulating how much of a loss it is, because it's a loss when any human being dies.
Sure.
It's more of a loss for other people, I think, who had a better connection to him than me. But he was ill for a long time, so I think a lot of people were aware of this.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make it any less terrible. But it wasn't one of those sort of shock things. When I saw this, I thought, I kind of expected this would happen sometime.
Indeed, yes. So sad.
But never the politicians, always the actors.
Yes. Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely right. Sad news, he was 77. He had a fantastic career. He was from Chesterfield originally, which is quite a strange place, Chesterfield. I went there once. It's got a crooked spire.
He was doing stuff for cancer charities as well, wasn't he?
He was.
He was active.
He was he was a charity patron. He had university appointments and degrees and honours. And he was a busy guy who was well recognised. So, the great John Hurt sadly passed away. So that's this week's podcast with a K, ladies and gentlemen. Dear listener. And as ever, if you've any feedback, any thoughts on anything we've discussed this week or previously or even next time, because you know you might be listening to this in the future and have several others following this podcast to contribute.
You keep them to yourself.
Do share them with us on Twitter or Facebook or at beyondcasterbris.com. And if you are able to give us your feedback on iTunes, that would be great, because firstly it shows other people that we're worth listening to, but also it feeds our massive egos in a way that you could not imagine, particularly McLean, who, you know, he's got all the money in the world. He doesn't need any more money. He loves having his ego fed with great reviews. So if you could do that would be fantastic.
Clearly, I need a better acoustically sound outhouse to be recording.
Well, there is that, yes.
But yeah, you can either take Christian's point of view or my point of view, which is shut up, keep your opinions to yourself. We don't want to hear them.
And before James calls his butler in to flush the toilet for him, we would all like to wish you a nice week, and hope that everything in the world is going well for you. Please don't panic. Until next time, it's goodbye.